have two related applications. The first one is subdivision and rezoning for the former railway right-of-way north of Cordon Avenue, south of Kingsway, between Lockwood Street and Grosvenor Avenue. And I'm just going to open up, see if I've got that. Let me see if I can find it here. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following items will also be heard at the same time, namely item 2, a variance for the former railway right-of-way north of Cordon Avenue, south of Kingsway between Lockwood Avenue and Grosvenor Avenue under file DCU 10805 of 2009. So you just have to call the applicant.
Okay.
And then ask for
excuse me.
Miles Kraut is the applicant.
Okay, if Miles Kraut could come forward, the applicant. I'd like to remind everybody tonight that, as you know, this is an adjourned hearing. So we have heard from a number, we've heard from everybody at that previous hearing, and you certainly do have the right to speak tonight. But I just would ask, it's the same people who heard everyone the first time. So if you could keep your comments to new information if possible or your most important points just to avoid repetition, I think everyone would appreciate it. So whoever wishes to speak with the applicant, if you could just introduce yourselves again and get started.
Sure, be happy to. Yaron is just going to set up a quick little PowerPoint so people have pictures so they see what we're speaking of. So just
sure.
3 minutes.
No problem.
Thank you. And I'd also just like to mention that everyone who speaks will have a maximum of 10 minutes. Followed by the questions. So you don't have to use that entire 10 minutes, but that will be the maximum. Okay, thank you. Thanks very much.
You ready?
Yeah, I think we're okay. Hello. Once again, my name is Miles Kraut, and I'm the president of Karma Development Corporation. Knowing your customers' needs is the key to all businesses. Myself and my partner, Mark Kitness, have both been raised, had businesses, developed and traded properties in this community for over 15 years. As such, we have a keen understanding to our customers' needs and in turn have developed a core ideology, which I touched on last meeting. This ideology includes creating an affordable lifestyle, accommodating people who are not willing or do not have the ability to maintain their own properties, ideal for people with mobility problems or just like to escape Winnipeg's cold winters. From our last meeting, it seems to me there were 11 key issues which require further discussion. Some of the neighbors hired a professional consultant firm and asked them to generate a plan which consists of single-family houses. This option was considered by Karma Development Corporation and scrutinized by the City of Winnipeg Property and Planning Department over 15 months ago. At that time, it was determined a multifamily infill would be the most logical fit for this irregular-shaped piece of property. In addition, a single-family housing plan similar to what was proposed was put in front of the City of Winnipeg Property and Planning Department and the councillors back in 2002. At that time, they determined this unique parcel of land would be better suited as a multifamily development. Then, back in 2005, CN Rail offered the city of Winnipeg a chance to purchase said land to utilize as green space. Once again, it was determined the best fit would be multifamily. The following is a list of key concerns brought forth at our last hearing and how they would measure up with both single-family and multifamily options. A big concern for the community was the amount of green space. A development consisting of single-family housing would incorporate an 8 to 10-foot side yard. The side yard would have to be sloped appropriately to house for runoff water, in turn making it very difficult to utilize and would have no practical use. For example, you couldn't park cars on it, there wouldn't be enough room for children to play, and it would be impossible to access if you had mobility problems. However, if you were to push the dwellings together, you then open up a significant amount of qualitative green space, in turn allowing cars to park, children to play, and it would be accessible to all. When considering the amount of trees and shrubbery planted, there'll be over 600 trees planted in total in order to provide privacy without fencing. This 8 to 10-foot side yard would not be visible by adjacent neighbors. Therefore, the neighbor's line of sight would not be changed in either event. By opening up the appropriate amount of green space, we are able to stagger our dwellings, providing room for a 5-foot paved path lined with plenty of trees and shrubbery for all to use and enjoy. Density was an important point as well. If one were to construct 48 single-family homes as proposed, each house would average approximately 1,250 square feet, and they would consist of 3 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms. That's a total of 144 bedrooms. With Karma Development's plan, building 62 smaller 2-bedroom semi-attached condominiums and staggering them from east to west, there's a total of 124 bedrooms. That's 20 bedrooms less than the single-family proposal. Now, single-family homes typically cater to younger, larger families with children. These children would attend our local schools. A key point was raised at our last meeting as well. It's possible that a large influx of students may overcrowd some of our school systems in the area. It is our opinion that with 20 less bedrooms and a development catering to much older clientele, density and traffic flow would be considerably less than a single-family proposal. The price point is a very important part for us as well. If Karma Development Corporation were to construct single-family housing, they would average between $300,000 and $360,000 per door. Our multifamily proposal will average between $185,000 and $250,000 per door. That's an extremely large gap. You see, single-family homes are significantly more expensive to construct. Some reasons include basements need to be poured individually, there are more exterior devising walls, water and waste lines cannot be shared, and our infrastructure costs have to be divided by fewer doors. This price point puts us out of our target customer's budget, leading us astray from our core ideology. Our goal is to see people who have grown up, have family and friends in this community, afford to stay in their community well into their senior years. Parking was also raised as an issue. Single-family housing, as suggested, do not accommodate any room for common parking. One can only park so many vehicles on a 22-foot parking driveway. Because there's no room for parking on adjacent streets, 100% of parking for our residents and their guests must be accommodated on-site. This can only be achieved by pushing our dwellings closer together. The plan that was submitted to the City of Winnipeg for approval this evening has 2.2 parking spots per dwelling. The City of Winnipeg zoning bylaw requires only 1.5 spots per dwelling. As such, we have incorporated 50% more parking than the City of Winnipeg feels necessary. Snow removal was raised as well. The City of Winnipeg has agreed to clear the snow off the newly widened back lanes used to access our development, similar to what is done on all other streets and lanes in River Heights. Snow deposited directly on site will be collected and disposed of appropriately by the new development's condominium association, with no expense to the City of Winnipeg or the neighboring community. Stormwater was also raised as an important point. And as you know, Karma Development Corporation has retain Stantec Consulting to ensure all appropriate measures will be taken to properly dispose of all runoff water, utilizing such things as catch basins and extra-wide piping deep underground. Now, these engineering plans will have to be scrutinized and approved by the City of Winnipeg Water and Waste Department before any building permits can be issued. A very important point to the neighboring community was the character. Karma Development Corporation has gone through great lengths to ensure our project fits and resembles the existing community as best as possible. Some of the steps taken include custom designed attached bungalows, sharing the same elevation, square footage, and architectural design as the surrounding homes. After consulting with the neighboring community, it was apparent they did not want two- or three-story dwellings like 1810 Corridon towering over their homes. They would also prefer them to look individual and unique. Karma accomplished that daunting task by incorporating unique characteristics such as alternating the roof lines, porches, window shapes and placement, exterior finishings, masonry work, stucco, acrylic colors, and so on. Garages were placed in the rear of each dwelling, and front yards were incorporated, further keeping with the layout of the existing community. Automobile access was also raised as a key point. Karma Corporation has agreed to substantially widen the existing back lanes to ensure plenty of room and access for vehicles to maneuver in and out of their garages and their driveways. The newly widened lanes, coupled with the right-of-way dedicated to the city, will measure 25 feet in total. Current lanes measure 16 feet wide, so there's plenty of room for everyone to maneuver safely. The pedestrian path was raised. The pedestrian path, lined with trees, which winds throughout our development, connecting Corridon to Academy, would be open to the public and maintained by the Condominium Association. This will be stated in the newly formed condominium bylaws, and once written, bylaws are provided to and signed off by the new purchasers and witnessed by their legal counsel, which makes them virtually impossible to deviate from in the future. Construction access was also raised. Access for construction will be provided through a temporary gravel road, which will be constructed in the center of our property, and dwellings will be constructed one at a time, moving from south to north. So as homes are being built, the temporary road will get shorter and shorter and shorter. This should substantially limit the use of the existing back lanes. There were some environmental concerns raised as well. Soil sampling has already been collected and analyzed with no contaminants found. However, before construction commences, there will be a further, more thorough study conducted, which will include drilling deep into the ground, searching for contaminants, percentage of clay in the soil, and so on. These findings will be submitted to our financial institutions and Stantec Consulting for their review and approval. So in closing, Karma Development Corp. shares an intimate understanding of whom our customers are and their needs that must be met. This, coupled with many neighboring concerns, logistic, financial, and City of Winnipeg guidelines and suggestions, is how we've determined the right fit for this development. Infills like the one proposed have been extremely successful and welcomed by surrounding communities in many Canadian urban centers, and we firmly believe this is the right fit for our community. Thanks very much, everyone, for coming, and I look forward to answering your questions afterwards.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Now, we have a number of people registered in support of the application, and I'm going to state your name, and if you just wish to be registered in support, please say so, or if you wish to speak. Dr. Charles Littman?
Yes, and I wish you to register.
Registered, thank you. Brian Murray? Thank you. Alana Littman? Thank you. And Louise Gilman? You here? Okay, please come down to the microphone. Okay.
I would like to speak in support of this particular project. I'm one of those people, the old ones, that you don't want in your neighborhood. Well, I think that's a bit of ageism. I feel that it's important that people be allowed to age in place, that our friends and family, who are also aging in place, would be able to come and visit us without having to worry about staircases and obstacles. I commend Miles for...
Matt, if you could just please address the committee here and not the
audience. Okay, I would like to commend Miles for actually thinking about people who don't fit that statistical middle range, who need some adaptations in their housing in order to continue to live dignified lives. I don't really particularly want to live in one of those high-rises where they sequester old people out on Wilkes Avenue or wherever, as was suggested in the previous meeting. I would like to be in the community that I am comfortable in. I would like to be in the middle of the city, not out in the outskirts where, among other things, transportation is a problem. And I think it is reasonable that a community should consist of a mixed age group, a mixed variety of people within our midst. When my kid was small, my kids were small, surprisingly, many of their friends had never met an old person, and they were scared of old people. Well, I'm an old person, and I'm not too scary, but I think that the children in the neighborhood might benefit from having a variety of people around them rather than having a community that discriminates against the old. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else whose name I have not called who wishes to speak in support of this application? Okay, then we'll move to those in opposition. Again, I'm going to call out your name, and there's a number of people. If you have something new to add or something you feel you want to be heard, you do have that right. As I remind you again, this is an adjourned hearing, so we did hear many of the arguments from the same people who heard them before. So, but you do have an opportunity to speak if you wish. Alma Loban. Pardon? Register to speak, or register in opposition. James Kostek. Thank you. Bryce Duder.
Register.
Thank you. David Palaboski.
I'll speak.
Thank you. You can come forward.
My colleague has got some handouts to provide to the committee. They include my letter to the committee as well as the Centennial Lockwood neighborhood proposal for a single-family condominium.
Thank you.
We've gone into quite some detail in terms of conditions of approval to sort of reflect the kind of information that you received from the City of Winnipeg's administration. I would hope that I could go through each item, but I'll try to do that within the time frame, but I suspect I might be a little over. I'll try to hit the highlights, and I won't go through the entire letter. This hearing was adjourned on the 8th of September because there was a lot of questions unanswered by the councillors. And the councillors heard conflicting views of what the neighbourhood should be in the future from the real estate developers who would like to change the nature of the neighbourhood, and the community who would like to see the neighbourhood change but in a planned format that fits within the community. Over this period of time of 2 months, we've had the opportunity to provide Michael Robinson with our concerns and share the community's views. I know that the community has also met during this period of time with our chair of the community association. They've reviewed details in terms of our plan that was submitted to this community committee at the last meeting, outlining a single-family development proposal, as well as terms and conditions that were discussed within the community, which the community would find redevelopment of the rail right-of-way, vacant rail right-of-way, acceptable and a good fit for the community. I'll go through those terms and conditions at the conclusion of my presentation, but I want the community committee to be aware that 92% of the residents over these past months have discussed this with our clients and have signed the petition. A lot of people are exhausted by this process, which has included 3 information meetings by the developer, 2 hearings by the city. And as part of the process, I want you to understand that there is some fatigue. The fatigue happens when the community committee, when the developer holds public information meetings, when the community speaks to the administration saying, we've got concern about changing our neighborhood, we got concern about density, we got concerns about how services are going to be provided. The developer doesn't hear the community's concerns. The developer hears what he thinks his market is, but he doesn't hear what the community's concerns are in terms of fit with the neighborhood. The administration hears what the community says. The administration has said your concerns over density, your concerns with regards to the change in use of the neighborhood are valid concerns. Notwithstanding that they are valid concerns, they didn't make their way in terms of the administration's recommendations to this committee. They were not taken into consideration as part of those recommendations. So what I'd like to do is go through basically some of the things that the community would like to tell you. Firstly, I guess part of the history was touched on by the applicant, that this rail right-of-way is, its potential use in the future is not a new thing. City Council actually in December 11th, 2002, passed a resolution that you make a planning decision to acquire this right-of-way for future transit corridor associated with a pedestrian path, associated with a bike trail. And the residents of Lockwood Centennial feel today that that was the right decision. It was a smart decision to make, but the city in the following year didn't proceed with that decision that it made in December. Notwithstanding the citizens' disappointment, they do appreciate what Mayor Cates has said in the paper in October 23rd. And the mayor basically reflects their opinion when he says, the city's failure to secure unused rail rights away in River Heights that eventually fell into the hands of real estate developers was a major, major blunder. Notwithstanding that is the case, that has happened, so what do we do with the land now? The residents don't want to see the first blunder compounded by another blunder that changes the character of the neighborhood, that forces within the neighborhood a type of development that is not characteristic of the neighborhood. That is why the neighborhood has done the rather unusual thing of pulling together money and hiring a firm like us. We're planners and landscape architects. We've been asked to look at this from a planning and a landscape architecture perspective in terms of design and how it fits within the neighborhood. We have prepared for you and provided to you a detailed plan of subdivision for a single-family residential condominium that would fit within the area. It does reduce the density from 62 units from 62 units to 46 units. It includes, in terms of the overall open space, 50% of the land is in yards in terms of open space, excluding the garage and buildings, as opposed to the developer's open space quotient. And both of them I've excluded the parkways, which we've maintained, which is 25% of the building footprint is open space in the developers. The community believes some of the design decisions made by the developer were good decisions in terms of alternating access. It spreads the traffic out on the street. We agree with that, but in doing that and maintaining these pedestrian connections between one side of the lane and the other side of the lane so that the residents who enjoy now unencumbered access from Lockwood to Centennial Street in terms of meeting friends and neighbors and children playing with one another, or playing bridge if you're older, we wanted to maintain that. The residents agreed to maintain that. They have to reduce the lot size from 50 feet, which is the common size within the area, to 46 feet. That will provide for that opportunity to continue. I want to go through 10. I'm not going to deal with them all because I don't think it's necessary, but I want to go through 10 of the questions that were posed to the administration, either by ourselves or questions from your community committee. And I want to ask you if you feel the answers fully respond to all our needs in terms of for clarity. Firstly, how do the constraints of the site, as noted by the administration on page 15 of the report, which includes site access, width of land, and servicing required for the site, support a development that is more dense than the surrounding neighborhood, which does not have these same constraints in terms of access, site size, and servicing requirements? You have to believe that that is the case. We don't think it is the case. The developer has indicated that the number of garages proposed for the condominium per back lane is less than the number of garages using the same back lanes by the adjoining single-family homes. This is true. There are fewer garages on the back lane by the condominium development than there is in terms of single-family homes. But one must also acknowledge the back lanes will increase and be required to take on many more functions to serve the developer's proposed condominium than it does to serve the single-family homes that use the back lanes to access their garages for overnight parking. These additional functions for the multifamily means the lanes must become a street. They will become the main access to every multifamily unit. They will become the location for visitor parking to the multifamily units. They will become the access for emergency vehicle services for the multifamily units. They will be the main delivery and service vehicle access for the multifamily units. And they will be the right-of-way in which pedestrians' access to the multifamily units will be incorporated in. Those are five additional functions. How does the proposed widening of the lane pavement from 16 feet to 20 feet, which is 5 feet less than a normal single-family street pavement standard, prepare the lane to take on these additional five functions and resolve the traffic and access issues? Fourthly, how is the developer's net density of 3,231 square feet per single-family condominium unit, which is greater than 144% of the density of the existing single-family lots, which are 51,000 to 65,000 square feet, how is that reflective of the single-family character of the neighborhood and not represent a change in use? Five, limited site area will require stormwater to be retained in oversized underground storm sewers. How will the underground, a lot of the technical aspects of this are left for the administration to deal with later. And one of the things I guess the neighborhood feels, this is very unusual type of development, and maybe there should be a little bit more transparency in terms of what the solutions are. And I appreciate the developer has sort of answered some of this tonight, but I guess my major concern, if you have oversized storm drainage sewers, and you have in the spring, when you only have about 25% of open space, so everything is hard surface going to be running off, in the spring when you typically have frozen manholes, and if the storm drainage sewers are not put below frost, how are we going to ensure that in the spring, if there's a risk of frozen manholes or sewers that need to be unplugged, that you don't get into a situation of having the neighborhoods risk local flooding?
Your 10 minutes is...
I know. I'm going to try and wrap up. I'll go as quickly as I
can.
Thank you. Okay. Given the five added functions the back lanes will take on to serve the proposed condominium and the absence of a traffic study, how can it be concluded the Centennial and Lockwood back lanes will not carry traffic volumes greater than the back lanes anywhere else in River Heights with single-family development on both sides, given we have five extra purposes that lane will be serving? Does the developer's proposal resolve the visitor parking challenge associated with redevelopment of the rear of the rail right-of-way? Typically, multifamily developments in this city are located with convenient access to collector streets, which provide opportunities for overflow parking. This is not the case at this site. Each visitor parking spot under the condominium proposal is illustrated in the attachment that I have given to you, provides one parking spot contained, or one visitor parking spot between two dwellings contained between the garages. In order for that to effectively work, because there's minimal separation from the lane, one has to be very adroit at parallel parking because your car is only going to be 2 feet from the living room window. The citizen's single-family proposal provides four parking spaces, including the driveway to the garage, and provides the new neighborhood with visitor parking flexibility not addressed by the developer's multifamily proposal. Construction access to the site, given the site width limitations, will be more disruptive to the surrounding neighborhood than generally experienced by the city for developers' proposals elsewhere. And notwithstanding, if you have a center access road, it's not so much how materials are coming in, but you have excavation going on, you have materials dumping off. I do a lot of development within the city of Winnipeg, and if you go to the new areas, you see where that, if somebody's got gravel, if somebody's got topsoil, it's put on the street, or in this case, it'll be put on the lane because it's easy to scrape it off that way. So there's going to be lots of disruption in the neighborhood. The neighborhood recognizes.
Just about, I'm sorry, we have to, okay. In fairness.
Okay. Well, can I borrow the 10 minutes?
I don't know. I mean, I imagine this is probably, if a few of you have said you're not going to speak, you know, but just if you can try to move along quickly. We have. As I said, it's an adjourned hearing. So
I appreciate that, but again, I received the administration's report on Friday. It's some 40 pages long.
No.
And in order to address the new information, I mean, I do need some time.
No, fair enough. I'm just trying to make sure the process is fair for everyone.
I appreciate
it. So proceed.
I'm going to, because the other information, you have a copy of the design that we provided to you, so I'm not going to go through that. What I'd like to do is identify the conditions that the community would propose for approval. The community, 92% of the community have reviewed the conditions, the plan, and signed this petition, and following are the conditions that they would propose for infill development. That a multifamily development is not consistent with the character of our neighborhood and is not supported by the community. Although our preference would be to have space left as green space or converted to transit corridor, we appreciate these options may not be feasible. Therefore, the community has agreed to support a single-family infill development of the rail right-of-way subject to the following conditions. The single-family site plan to reflect the plan is prepared by Lombard North Group, including the following yard setbacks. And these would be setbacks that we would be suggesting as the minimum setbacks in order to comply with the variance application as submitted. That the front yard on the walkway side be 14 feet 2 inches. The side yard be 4 feet for each single family dwelling. The rear yard on the garage side be 12 feet 8 inches. The design layout for single family lots alternate the location of walkways as per the plan, which is every 6 to 4 frontages, the frontage would alternate to the other lane. The commercial site be limited to 100 feet, as illustrated on our plan, rather than 150 in the developer's plan, so it's consistent with the neighborhood. Sidewalk and open space amenities to be public facilities to ensure continuous community access and proper maintenance. If the city is not considering them as public facilities, that there be a caveat placed upon the property by the city that designates the right-of-way and the public open space as public or as accessible to the community, so that it is not exclusive space, so that the condominium corporation in the future does not vote to change its bylaws and not vote to alter the context within which it may start out with. This would be a public access. Parking, provided the single-family lot should include two parking spaces per lot with one additional guest parking space as per our plan. The lane right-of-way be widened to 23 feet 10 inches as proposed in the Lombard North plan. And as the principal access, the lane will function as a street and is to be maintained by the city to the same standards as neighborhood streets are. Notwithstanding, the administration has said that the lanes in River Heights are maintained more frequently to a higher standard than the streets. I know the councillor lives there. He can answer that for himself. But from my client's point of view, the residents on the street have a difficult time agreeing that snow clearing the lane is a higher standard than snow clearing on the street. Land drainage servicing report be completed and presented to the community committee demonstrating how the land drainage will be managed to effectively protect existing residents from runoff and minimize risk of sewer backups. Public works to identify how access will be managed so that it will not disrupt residents' access to their garages. And I guess that's also terms of handling of construction material as well. Thank you very much. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much.
Okay, actually, there's one additional. You'll have it in my report. The development agreement with the city provide design standards as provided in Appendix S or F of the administration's report, and include in the design standards the added requirement that the same house design not be repeated within a distance of 4 units. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. No questions? Okay.
Thanks. We have somebody else who has come in who's in support. Do you wish to simply be registered? It's I. Kraut. You didn't want to speak because we were already into the people in opposition, but I will register you in support. Okay. Next, we have, now I'm going through the names. Let me know if you just wish to be registered or wish to speak. David Palubowski. Oh, that's who I just heard. Sorry. Marie Buchak, thank you. Violet and Ken Walsh, registered? You don't wish to speak? Okay. Harold Peters, you registered in opposition? Yeah, I'm sorry, what I just said, I meant these are in opposition. Donald Duncan, thank you. Joseph Remus, okay, please come forward.
Good evening, people. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on this again. As you realize, I think we've almost become friends through the years over this issue. I guess you want a new issues, you want a new things to understand. I hope that you do. Like, I really love this neighborhood. I've lived all over the place. I had a farm around Emerson, Manitoba. I've lived in smaller cities like Brandon, small towns. And the community that I'm now in is the best one that I ever lived in. And I'd hate to see it destroyed because some developer wants to re-set up things. The other part of it that, and I also hope that you really did listen to Ken Clausen last time, because he really did make a lot of good points about differences in, well, everything, high fuel prices, everything else. Because I think making a development here is kind of really, it's really a detriment to everything in the city. And particularly when I see what's happened in Gateway Drive, and I've driven by there to the golf courses up north. And the bike paths and everything there are well used. But the concern that I have per se is that I went to my clients, I'm a financial planner, and whatever their age is, and some of them have advised buy that back late, and they say one word to the development proposal. Preposterous. We would never buy into this development. The reason? They don't want to look at back garages and garbage cans, which are on either side of them. There's nothing that really looks very appealing there. As far as where they go, and a lot of them are retirees, some of them go down south for the winter, and a lot of them hang around here. I said, well, where would you go, or what would you do? Well, in some instances, they'd buy into places like the single and double developments off of Dakota Avenue to the south of the city, or by the Mint, Memorial Mint Road. In other areas, they said, well, we'd choose to live in outlying communities like Carmen, St. Agathe, Morris, etc. And part of the issue there is that the city is having infrastructure problems right now. One of my clients a couple of weeks ago had a serious health problem. He chose to drive to Carmen, Manitoba to get treatment, where he got it immediately at the hospital. My daughter, 2 weeks ago, decided that she was going to try to set her iPod when she was going upstairs at Red River's campus, two blocks around the way here. She slipped and fell I mean, it's stitches. We waited at St. Boniface's emergency clinic for 7 hours to get the stitches. And this is a big issue for elderly people. You want your medical care when you can get it. And as a result of that, my point here is the fact that there are outlying communities where these people can live very well, get a decent home, not have to look at garbage cans, and have a home that doesn't look like a 60-style motel. So, I mean, primarily, who are the buyers? We're in Alberta, people are moving out wholesale, and they're coming to this province for jobs. Are they buying into 1810? It's still not filled. So why would they buy into something like this? I wouldn't buy into it. I'd move to another community. Or I'd buy into anything else. It just doesn't look good. That's not where I want to be. Now, I guess that's primarily about all I can say tonight about this, but please do take that into consideration. I did small business planning for a while, and one of the first things that you ask somebody who's got a new plan is, A, what are you going to charge for your plan? B, can you find 10 customers for what you've got? Because if you can find 10 customers, two will buy from you. And C, primarily, I shouldn't even mention the C. I think those two are the main ones for right now. So thank you very much for your time, and I hope you really do decide to preserve our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Chris Baker, you were also from Lombard Group. Were you just up here?
Registered.
Registered? Okay. Erica Kreis? Okay. Thank you. Gail Mahler? George Jakimek? Thank you. Oh, Colin Gilmore? Thank you. Brian Smith? Thank you. Fred and Shirley Gehring? Thank you. Paul Hildahl? Thank you. Dave Kababi? Okay, you'll speak. I called her. Oh, now she's okay. So she's, is that calling? No. Okay. You know what? Maybe I'll just go through. There's only a few more. I'll just go through the others and see if you plan on speaking. Okay. Juan Somoza. Just be registered. Anna Somoza. Same. Jorge Orellana. And all the other names on here in your family as well. Thank you. Phyllis Ann Rodich. Thank you. And Victor Dudek. Thank you. And so Dave Kababi, you're speaking on his behalf? Okay. And your name, if you could say?
Johanna Kababi.
Okay. Thank you.
So not long ago, we had a meeting with the neighbors. It was an informational meeting. And not really understanding or knowing what the questions meeting is all about. But one of the questions came up, and it was from actually one of our neighbors who is a fire truck driver, because we kept saying how the plan is to have the backlanes and keep the backlanes. And he kept asking about for emergency vehicles, how is that going to work? We need an address. We cannot go to a backlane. And last time I was here, I shared about how my daughter was hit by a truck in the backlane. Now I have to share that I already went through a fire incident, and I think it's important to understand how that's going to work if both are going to be kept as backlanes. If a fire truck driver is actually asking us how that's going to work for them, and he said, well, I guess I can see the fire, but then I thought, well, emergencies are not just fires. Like, what if somebody's having a stroke or heart attack? How are they going to find that? And I don't know who do I address this question. Is it here or how that's going to work? And the second point that I had was, like, I know that in support, information in support, it was stated that maybe discrimination against age. And I'll have to say that any of the meetings we've had, I don't think I've heard anything about discrimination against age. And as a matter of fact, I think our neighborhood is actually made of a really nice mix of all kind of ages. And I think because we have the care and concern for all our young and not so young generation and neighbors, the concern is more the density so that we can actually take care and protect not only our older generation, but also our young generation. So I don't know if that's a question I ask here about the bike lanes and the emergency vehicles, or is that something that I just wait? Because it was really interesting how the driver, he kept asking us, the ones who came to meetings, and we didn't have an answer for him.
Okay. Well, it isn't a question and answer process, but we could ask the administration that question after.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Is there anybody else who wished to be registered or speak in opposition whose name was not called? I also have two people registered for information, Marion Simpson and Dennis Simpson, for information, and Valerie Sander, for information. Thank you very much. We now have an opportunity for the applicant to come back and to rebut only comments that were made in the those from those in opposition. If you could come forward, Mr. Kraut.
Thanks, guys. I'll be brief. There's just a couple of points that people mentioned that they might need further information on. In regards to the fire department has been contacted, and we've worked with them for the last 15 months to come up with this plan that we have in place. They put in plenty of criteria that we have to meet with. For example, they made us put all the fire hydrants on one side of our development. That way they know exactly how to access the fire hydrants in case there's an emergency. In regards to selling our project, first of all, my cell number happens to be on the sign, the big rezoning sign, and I would say 99% of the phone calls that I've received have been people who are interested in purchasing the project, not even with questions. We also plan on pre-selling at least 50% of the dwellings before construction commences. We have to do that for financial reasons. As well as just in regards to what David mentioned with the parallel parking, there's only one parallel parking spot for six units. So a little bit had some confusion there. In regards to the underground sewer and water with the catch basins, like I mentioned before, we hired Stantec Consulting. I'm certainly not an underground engineer expert. I imagine the majority of people here aren't either. That's why we hired them as our consultants. They're the same company the city of Winnipeg uses for consulting in regards to their underground engineering plans, and we plan on listening to what they have to say to the T, submitting their requests to the city of Winnipeg before any building permits can be issued. And that's it. Thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate your time. I know it's been a long process.
Thank you very much.